Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Kristen's Corner, hosted by yours truly, Kristen Phillips Hill. And I really appreciate our listeners checking out another episode. And it's hard to believe we are on our 25th episode already. I think one of the things about this platform that I appreciate is the ability to walk through difficult issues and bring in individuals from all across the state on these matters. And with that, welcome to today's guest, Senator Lisa Baker from Luzerne County. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Kristen. I really appreciate the opportunity to join you, my first ever podcast. So I really am hoping that this conversation perhaps gives me some impetus to do podcasts in the future. So thank you.
Absolutely. We laughed. I said, you mean people want to listen to me talk? And I said, you know, I raised three kids. They tried not to listen to me talk. But apparently people tune in and listen. And I actually get great feedback after these podcasts. But in the aftermath of the 2020 election, we continue to receive reports and hear great frustration from folks about irregularities. It continues to be the top issue that I hear about from my constituents. And our podcast listeners will probably recall a more recent episode I recorded around Thanksgiving with Representative Eric Nelson. So Senator Lisa Baker and I are sponsoring legislation that would ban any outside entity from funding our elections process. Representative Eric Nelson is sponsoring the House version of this legislation. So, Senator Baker, can you walk us through your journey to come to the conclusion that we must end this funding from what I will say are dark money groups that go into our election operations, not our political campaigns, but the actual elections?
Kristen, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to talk to you about my work and our work collectively, because it started when the Senate put together the Senate Select Committee on Election Integrity, chaired by Wayne Langerhulk, and I was one of the Republican members. And it gave us an opportunity to delve into the 2020 election and to look at what steps we could take moving forward. What occurred? What were the things that raised questions? And we had a series of public hearings. But I think one of the most striking parts of that public hearing was when the folks from Philadelphia appeared before the committee and were asked about special funding through Mark Zuckerberg's foundation, the Civic Life, CTCL. And I had never heard of CTCL. I was not familiar with this entity. But what was striking was the amount of money that went to certain communities, and large amounts of money to Philadelphia and the collar counties, to Allegheny County. And one of my small counties, Pike County, got a little more than $50,000. And I, as someone who ran a charitable foundation prior to running for office, I was familiar with a platform for grant making. And it seemed odd to me that there was such disparity in the grants. And upon further questioning the officials before us, they had a difficult time answering some basic fundamental questions. How did you apply? Who told you to apply? What were the expectations? Did you have to have matching funding? All the sorts of things that a typical grant maker would be asking. And after the hearing, it really became apparent to me that this was a function of philanthropy stepping into our election process, and I believed it to be inappropriate. In my mind, it's core function of government that government funds elections. As I said at a recent hearing, it's Democracy 101. Who pays for elections? Is it the government or is it the private sector?
So we recently had a public hearing in the Senate State Government Committee. It featured you, Representative Eric Nelson, a reporter with Broad and Liberty, officials from the Department of State, as well as officials from the city of Philadelphia, to talk about this massive infusion of cash that came in the weeks leading up to the 2020 election. I believe they testified it was $22.5 million went to certain counties in the state. In your testimony, it was really powerful. And I'd like to quickly play a short clip for our listeners.
The best way to avoid the inconsistencies, inequitable funding patterns, and general appearance of potential impropriety is to eliminate third-party funding of elections and election operations. It doesn't matter who or what the entities are. Outside financial influence in election operations is a new phenomenon, and one that I do not feel is appropriate. It should become a trend that will undoubtedly get more creative and suspicious over time if we let it happen. Voters, taxpayers, citizens alike deserve the fair and equitable election system. It should be uniform from one county to the next, regardless of size, demographics, or wealth. Senate Bill 982 brings this one step closer.
And I think you touched on something. Where does this end? Is this just the tip of the iceberg? And as you said later in your testimony, this shuts off the fire hose moving forward.
I think as we've delved into this, and I've looked at the Center for Civic Life and reviewed their 990. And what was troubling to me is that their contributors' names are redacted. And keep in mind, their 990 for the 2020 election cycle has not posted on GuideStar, which is a typical search engine for looking at nonprofit 990. So we don't even know who was redacted there. There could have been dollars from other entities and organizations. So in their prior filing, they have individuals granting upwards of $1.4 million. Now, as an individual, that's a significant amount of money to put into a nonprofit organization. For me, having the name redacted, who are they? What do they want to influence? Why can't we know them? And as we look at moving forward, you're right, the hose is here. If this continues, it doesn't matter what organization it is. Because if you can redact these names, you can redact in the future. And my constituents want to know who is in charge of elections, who's paying for the elections. And it's a fundamental part of my concern that I believe our bill clarifies very simply. It's a very straightforward, very appropriate reaction. No private foundation money. Simply the government should do this. And when you're doing things in secret, my constituents will look at that, and I'm sure yours are saying, what's the point? What do you get for this? Why are you involved? What's your role? Who are you trying to influence? And so we shut that off. We shut the fire hose off, and we move forward. And as a core function of government, we fund the election.
I couldn't agree with you more. But you also hit on another aspect. And, you know, right or left, Republican or Democrat, leaning groups, conservative or liberal, our elections process, it must be beyond reproach. So this group happened to be a Democratic-leaning, obviously assisted by a Democratic administration, but what if the shoe were on the other foot?
Sure. I think, you know, you can make the parallel. Had the 2020 election been a different outcome and a Republican governor was in charge and a Republican-leaning nonprofit came forward, I believe my colleagues on the other side of the aisle would have cried foul, would have questioned, would have asked for that. And so I think when we look at this, the federal government got it all wrong on pandemic response. They underestimated completely what transpired. And so they should have recognized in the pandemic that our election needed their involvement as well as state government and our local governments. It should have been funded appropriately. We had all the dollars and resources for pandemic response and planning. This is a core function of government that they knew needed to take place, and they didn't honor that obligation. And so I don't want the federal government running elections, but in this particular case, the funding during a pandemic would have made the difference, and it would not have been necessary for philanthropy to step forward.
Well, I think we go through many debates in the legislature about what is and what is not a core function of government, but I believe and agree that there is no debate that our elections process is absolutely a core function of our state government. And furthermore, if you look at our state constitution, Article 1, Section 5 reads, "Elections shall be free and equal, and no power, civil or military, shall at any time interfere to prevent the free exercise of the right of suffrage." So you look at this outside funding that was largely bankrolled by Facebook founder and CEO Mark Zuckerberg and his wife Priscilla Chan, and you have to wonder, how is it equal when this outside group goes into Philadelphia and pays, when you break it down, more than $8 per voter, yet 46 other counties did not receive a dime from the group. And what is even more concerning is that email records show that this administration was actively soliciting specific counties to apply before other counties were even notified. And one county even said that they didn't want to take the money because they did not know who the donors to the organization were. And I have to give credit to the people in Bucks County in that regard.
I would agree, and you know, when you think about the infusion and the idea that they were given separate standing, that goes against every principle that a good foundation operates under. There are standards and acceptable policy behavior, and for a foundation to put out the call for proposals for grant funding consideration, there generally is a process and a very competitive procedure, not something that's determined in advance. It is a competitive process. Everyone files an application by a deadline. You provide all the necessary information, and your application is vetted. So from my standpoint, I question the integrity of the process that was used. And I'm thankful that the reporter delved into and sought out these documents that proved there was advance notification, advance pushing of certain communities. And fundamentally, I just find that wrong, inappropriate, and it leads me to question the work of the foundation at its core.
Well, I think it was really good to get this hearing on the record. And it looks like the next step is probably some follow-up and hopefully a vote in the Senate on our legislation. So, Senator Baker, where can our listeners go to find out more about you and about the work that you are doing in the Senate?
Thank you, Kristen. It's been a privilege to join you today on the podcast. They can find me at SenatorLisaBaker.com, on Facebook, on Twitter. I represent the 20th Senatorial District of Pennsylvania, which is five counties in northeastern Pennsylvania. And so while our districts are, you're at the base going into Maryland, I cover a territory that goes into New York and New Jersey. We all fundamentally have the same constituents who are asking and wanting election integrity. And so I'm pleased to be joined with you as a partner to solve what I believe is a bipartisan problem, and we should solve it in a bipartisan way.
So well stated. Thank you again. Really appreciate you coming on the podcast today. And this is Senator Kristen Phillips Hill. Today's guest was Senator Lisa Baker, chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee and co-prime sponsor of Senate Bill 982. And for more information on today's program, please visit senatorkristen.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon.